We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to another live Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, how we doing?
Is there a pod overdose? I feel like that needs to be on the medical association's list of diseases because I'm getting it, baby.
We're getting it. Yeah, third straight right here. And I know you got JBT to do after this. So we've been doing pods all day, but obviously we love our Nets, making time for the Brooklyn Buzz. As we mentioned the last couple weeks, rumors keep on coming, a little bit more speculation as well. Before we get into it, as always, want to thank you guys for checking us out, either YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, Nets Republic, OTGBasketball.com, whatever it is. We appreciate the support, commenting in the chat. You know, subscriptions on iTunes are always great and YouTube. But let's get into the Kyrie stuff. You know, it's been picking up, but this week it felt like it was the finishing touch. Kyrie got rid of his current agent, signed with Roc Nation, obviously a lot of ties to the Nets with Jay-Z, and then the Yomark twins, obviously one Yomark being the head of Roc Nation, the other one being a big part of the Nets organization, and then the Boston Herald coming out and reporting that it's almost a lock for Kyrie to be in the Nets uniform and that he's planning on joining the Nets.
Yeah, it seems to be that like there's a lot of sources reporting specific word, and I always like read the wording of what is reported by the sources. So operating under the belief that that Irving wants to join the Nets seems almost like fait accompli that this is going to happen. And I mean, at the same time, you know, I feel good because Kyrie Irving's a great player. I love his shoes, and I love what he'll bring to the city and the buzz, I guess, that he'll bring to Barclays and the team overall. But at the same time, you know, we've spoken about Nick. We've had, you know, some discussions about it. Is he going to bring another guy with him? Obviously, as soon as the agent, when he dropped his agent, everyone was just like, funnily enough, because he had the same agent as Jason Tatum. But everyone was just like, oh, well, he's going to sign Clutch Paul as his agent. And then 5 minutes later, when Woj drops the bomb that he's signing with Roc Nation, it's just like, okay, well then, what are the ties here? Is Rich Kleiman still a part of the Roc Nation fold? Oh, no, he's not. Oh, but Caris LeVert is, one of the Nets owners is. So, I mean, it's awesome. It's a wonderful time of year to just like read into all this speculation. And despite the fact that it was like 2 days ago that there was an NBA championship on the line. And at the end of the day, that's what the Nets are aiming for. We want to be aiming for a championship. We want sustained success. Can Kyrie Irving bring that? That's the million-dollar question. And probably $140 million question, sorry.
Yeah, you're right, Jack. And I think what it does too is, you mentioned the word buzz. It just creates a different kind of image for the Nets having a player like Kyrie Irving. As good as D'Angelo was, he doesn't necessarily bring that type of pop that Kyrie does. We talked about it. We just did a free agency preview. You can check that out, iTunes, YouTube, and all the stuff. But he's one of the top three players at his position. You know, he's a top three point guard, arguably top two if you want to debate between him and Dame. So I think there is a lot of pop. And I think the big thing with Kyrie is even Kevin Durant doesn't come, there's other options on the table. We'll kind of dive into that a little bit more. But I think it's just exciting. It's exciting that a player is almost locked in on coming to the Nets. Obviously, it's all rumors and reports at this point. But coming from so many trusted sources, it makes you feel good. Like, this is a major plus for them going to the offseason, possibly already having one guy locked up on June 30th when the meetings start and using him as an asset to kind of attract other guys.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about it for weeks on end. You know, obviously, it was Stephen A. Smith, Colin Cowherd, and all these other guys, and obviously Anthony Puccio as well. But once you get the credibility from Mark Stein and Andrew Wojnarowski, that's when you know the rumor mill is starting to get some real traction and some real credibility towards it. Obviously, for me, you know, it's almost, we've seen all the Kyrie Irving things and the rumors have been lingering for plenty of time. But obviously, like you mentioned, Nick, you know, does he want to come by himself? Does he want to bring someone else with him? What are his intentions in Brooklyn? Does he want to be that sort of guy that he was in Boston, but just in a new city? And, you know, without the sort of speculation that he would get on the New York Knicks. Obviously, you know, the D'Angelo Russell situation affects that as well. But it seems to me that the interest is more than mutual. And I feel a little bit bad in this situation for D'Angelo Russell, who has, despite the fact that, you mentioned on one of the OTG outlet pods that we just did, that, yes, D'Angelo Russell hasn't been a part of this organization for a very long time, but, you know, he's given a lot to this team. He's been very receptive to everything that's been happening. And, you know, there's been reports of him just sort of being like, look, I get it. Like, you know, I'm not Kyrie Irving. I'm not Kevin Durant. I'll take a back seat for you guys. And to me, that speaks a lot to his maturity as well. Kyrie Irving is top three point guard, you know, one of the best point guards, you know, of the past sort of half decade or so. Tremendously talented, hit one of the best, the biggest shots in a franchise's history, one of the biggest shots in championship history as well. But what he brings to Brooklyn, I'm always going to be skeptical.
Yeah, we'll have to see it happen. I think there's a couple of low-key reasons why Kyrie's also really interested in Brooklyn. One that sticks out to me that I don't think is talked about enough is a performance team. We've seen the work they've done with, you know, Damari Carroll. Even D'Angelo Russell, when he came here, he had an injury in the first year. Last year, he only missed one game, and that was because of rest. So I think that's playing a factor in his decision. We kind of talked about in the past, there's some health concerns with him, some knee issues. Maybe that performance team can kind of get him on an A1 level or a great program, or maybe he's resting a couple games here and there. And then also, I think the culture, and we kind of talked about in the preview as well, the perspective of Kyrie right now is really negative. If he buys into the net culture and they success, and he's a good quote unquote team player on and off the court, I think it really do wonders for his perception.
Yeah, and I think that what, like we sort of mentioned, you know, what are his intentions? Does he want to rebuild his image of some sort? Not that he, I think some of these guys do care to an extent, like, but at the same time. I think that the intentions are different because Kyrie's already got a chip. Kevin Durant's already got a chip. Kawhi Leonard now has, you know, a chip at a few different teams. It's going to be interesting to see when it happens, if it happens, what Kyrie Irving, you know, the first question I'll be asking him is why the Nets? Why the Brooklyn Nets? And I think that there's a lot of answers and a lot of reasons probably behind it for Kyrie. You know, there could be home elements as well. You know, he's comfortable in New Jersey. You know, we've seen a lot of Instagram videos and posts of him hanging around New York, looking around Manhattan, hanging around with his school crossing guard back when he was in elementary school. So there's a lot of factors to sort of analyze. But until June 30 comes, you know, a couple of weeks away, not very long, but, you know, the rumor mill is going to just be that. It's still going to be rumors until he's signed on the dotted line. And, you know, I can't help but think that it's going to be a tricky time for D'Angelo Russell. I know that he's not the perfect player and the perfect person. You know, he's made his mistakes along the way. But, you know, this time, you know, when you're in Kyrie Irving's position, you know, you hold all the cards, you hold all the power when you're that sort of elite sort of superstar. Whereas D'Angelo Russell, yes, you don't have to feel sorry for him because at the end of the day, he's going to get a sizable contract from whatever team. But whenever I have been thinking about Kyrie Irving, and I remember a couple of weeks ago just, you know, bringing it up with you and Will, I'm like, why not Kyrie and D'Lo? Why not? But at the same time, you know, It's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks until, you know, it happens, if it happens. There's going to be plenty of speculation, plenty of buzzes, and plenty of stuff happening until that point.
Yeah, and I mean, 15 days from now at this exact time, we might know if Kyrie Irving is going to be a Net. But touching on the D'Angelo front, it was reported this week, if Kyrie does sign with the Nets, it's highly unlikely that D'Angelo Russell will be back. I just want to say, I don't think this report came from the Nets. Like, I'll personally come out and say that it just doesn't make any sense for them to come out and say, hey, if Kyrie signs with us, we're not going to retain D'Angelo Russell. Because what value would it have for them to release a report like this? I'm not saying it's not true, but I just doubt it came from the Nets.
Well, Ian Begley is a New York reporter. Has been a New York reporter.
I actually know him too. He's been on an OTG podcast before in the past. Very nice guy. And I'm not saying that he's lying about it, but where he got his information may be incorrect.
Yeah, I mean, there's different sources to everything. And I, you know, whenever I look for Nets news, I go to the Book and Buzz and I go to Nets Daily. You know, Anthony Puccio and the guys there. And it still seems to me that it seems fluid. And I think that, you know, we saw on Instagram just early in the week, you know, D'Angelo Russell liking a fan post of a person who made, you know, Kyrie Irving in a D'Angelo Russell jersey. So I think that D'Angelo, obviously, he's occupied as well. It works out well that he happens to be traveling a little bit and having some fun in the offseason, doing a little bit of work here and there. But I don't get it either. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And obviously, it works well for teams like the Pacers, who seem to be gaining a lot of traction. I know we spoke about that with Corey as well. But D'Angelo Russell as a Brooklyn Net just seems to me to be right. And I mean, I don't get the Kyrie over D'Lo sort of thing. I've sort of said that at length. And, you know, in terms of if you let D'Angelo Russell walk and you keep Kyrie Irving, and then how much better do you get? I said this in the outlet, I'll say it on the Buzz. You don't get that much better. Like, if we have the exact same team, obviously take out Allen Crabbe, put in Taulian Prince, and you add, and maybe some other moves here and there. Obviously, there is a lot of space. But Kyrie Irving, as he is the third best point guard, second, third best point guard in the NBA. But I don't think he makes you a championship contender by himself. We saw that in Boston. He needs a running mate. He needs a sidekick. And I don't think that, you know, is Tobias Harris a credible sidekick? No. Is Jimmy Butler? Yeah. Is Kevin Durant? Yeah. But, you know, it's a year. You have to wait 12 months for that to be a reality. And then, you know, there's all these other rumors around it, like Julius Randle. I'm just like, just no. Just like stop making this thing. Everyone's seen Mean Girls. It's just like, stop trying to make Fetch happen. Stop trying to make Julius Randle happen. Like, it's just not a thing. Please, I hope Sean Marks is smart enough to just ignore that, ignore the rumors. Like, just give me the Morris twins instead or something. I don't care. But yeah, I'm much more inclined to this. It was just a few weeks ago that, you know, guys like Bill Simmons were like, look, I would rather give a max contract for D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, it's a cheaper max contract, given that it's restricted free agency and he is a bit younger, and Kyrie Irving would get 4 years, $140 million, and D'Angelo Russell.
I think if you were to max out both guys, it comes to about a $5 or $6 million per year more for Kyrie than D'Angelo.
Yes, so I mean that's, you know, $30 million or so, which is, you know, a solid player, and, you know, a guy at a mid level sort of exception. So it's a difference. And is it worth it? I really don't know. There's a lot of factors that Sean Marks has to weigh up with his team as well. As much as I love Kyrie Irving, and I'm dazzled by his talents on a nightly basis, and his basketball shoes are incredibly comfortable and stylish, I like D'Angelo Russell just as much because as a basketball fan, I get Kyrie Irving is better. But I also get that D'Angelo Russell, and as a Brooklyn Nets fan, I get that D'Angelo Russell is incredibly good. As what he is, and he hasn't reached his full potential yet. I think Kyrie Irving is peaked. That might be a hot take to say. I don't think Kyrie Irving's going to get any better than what he is. I think we've seen the best of Kyrie Irving. Maybe he has another level, and maybe the Brooklyn Nets provide him that opportunity to do so. But I'll happily eat my words if, you know, he proves that and then some. But I just don't know if there's another level to what we've seen with Kyrie Irving. And I think that the best level to Kyrie Irving is when he has another guy alongside him that is a better basketballer. And there aren't many better basketballers than him in this league. He's a top 15, top 12, top 10, whatever you want to say, player. So the difference between D'Angelo and Kyrie, despite the fact that D'Angelo Russell isn't a top 10, top 15 player, I don't think that Kyrie Irving being a top 10, 15 player gives you an extra 5, 10 wins, makes you a 4 seed. You know, the Nets with a 6 seed this year, are they going to get a top 4 seed by letting D'Angelo Russell walk, getting Tobias Harris, getting Kyrie Irving? Maybe, but it doesn't make you a championship contender, which I guess at the end of the day is really the end goal. I've said before that I value, you know, just being a regular playoff contender and having regular success, but as a fan, I want a championship. You know, I saw it with Toronto, you know, a lot of Toronto fans, and Nick Cavallo was loving it, was loving life. And I don't think that the Nets can win a championship with just Kyrie Irving. And I know you said, Nick, that it seems to me that there's going to be a number two. I'm not as confident as him bringing another free agent alongside with him.
But the other question would be like, you know, if I retain D'Angelo Russell, does that make me closer to a championship? Or if I bring in Kyrie Irving, now I already have one of these top 10, top 15 players in-house, and then maybe I can make a move for another top free agent via trade or something, and I'm a little bit more attractive destination. No disrespect to D'Angelo Russell. He's still a young guy. He had his first All-Star appearance. It was, a substitute for Victor Oladipo. So I think, like, you're bringing Kyrie and then you're bringing a top 10, top 15 talent. You're one step closer to a championship. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to take a huge jump in terms of, you know, we're going to boost up to a 50-win team with Kyrie. But what I feel better about Kyrie having, I know he didn't have a great postseason this year, but D'Angelo had an even worse postseason. But I feel better about Kyrie being my lead guy in a playoff series. Yeah, I would. And I think it's just like the element of bringing the possibility of bringing another guy, like, all right, we're going to get Kyrie. Now we have a chance to bring another guy. Guys, and overall for the Nets, this is, I think, regardless, they're probably going to get better next year if they bring in Kyrie or D'Angelo, because you have Caris LeVert, who hopefully will be healthy the entire season. You have Jared Allen, who's going to take a jump, most likely Rodion. So I think the team overall is going to grow. I get it, but I understand the emotion too. There's an emotional tie to D'Angelo Russell for a lot of fans, and it's just like, he helped us get to this point. He brought us back to the playoffs. He had a lot of great moments. But it's also, the other question is, will D'Angelo's peak ever be at Kyrie's peak? Like, right. Are you willing? Yeah. So that, for me right there, it's just the fact is I want the better basketball player. There is an issue with chemistry. I think it's fair to have that concern. But if Kyrie wants to come to Brooklyn and there's already been this connection already, you feel a little bit more confident about it. And overall, it just makes me feel more confident about bringing another star in via free agency or another star in via trade later down the line, because Kyrie just adds that another next level type of player, and he's done it on another level. And he just also brings a different type of atmosphere to the franchise.
He does. He does. And I think it's just hard to separate it from being a fan and from being a pundit. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell is one of my favorite players and personalities, you know, since I've been a Brooklyn Nets fan. You know, he brings an element of cachet and star quality that Kyrie Irving clearly does bring. I think probably romanticized this last season maybe more than I should. And it's hard not to, because there's been, you know, we've suffered as fans quite a bit. And I mean, you more than me, because, you know, I've been a much shorter fan than you have. So, but that, just the intense amount of euphoria and chemistry that we had this season, you know, do we see those, you know, those gifs and those memes of our bench dancing like crazy if Kyrie Irving gets on the team? You know, maybe that's what Kyrie Irving wants. Maybe he buys into that. But that's what I want. If we do get Kyrie Irving, which seems very, very likely, I want him to buy into Brooklyn. I don't want the Brooklyn Nets to buy into Kyrie Irving. I want Kyrie Irving to buy into Brooklyn. And I think that, yes, it is a superstar-driven league, and, you know, you work to whatever the player wants. But Kyrie Irving isn't Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving isn't LeBron James. Kyrie Irving isn't Kawhi Leonard. You know, you don't get everything catered towards you unless you are this sort of guy. And yes, you can build a team around Kyrie Irving that can be very good. You know, you put Caris LeVert out there as the second sort of ball handler, as a defender. That's a very nice backcourt. You know, you have Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench, Torian Prince as some sort of starter, maybe Tobias Harris on hopefully not a max deal. I don't know. There's a lot of things that can happen. And obviously, you know, if we were to have Kyrie Irving, we would have him for an extended period of time. So it's not buying all into this season. And it's hard not to sort of think about that, because next year's free agency isn't great. 2021 is okay. But we do have those two sort of max spots. So you need to make the most of it while the iron is hot. Danny Ainge could certainly think about that himself. You know, look at the Philadelphia 76ers. They just went all in. And, you know, that who knows what could happen with them next season. So I see it from both sides. It's just really hard to separate emotionally from what this team experienced last season, what D'Angelo Russell experienced last season. We are, as fans, just incredibly invested. And the Brooklyn Buzz as a whole is a fan-driven podcast. We're not NBA pundits. We're not credentialed writers. So I can't help, as a Brooklyn Nets fan, to not separate that fact, to not have some element of subjectivity when it comes to speaking about D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving. It's just... And I think that... I don't know who would Kyrie Irving get. Like, if we... I mean, you want to have the better player at the end of the day. But if we don't have, if we can't experience a championship, would you rather just have a fun team with chemistry that can grow together? You look at the Golden State Warriors as a team that sort of built inherently. Yes, D'Angelo Russell was through a trade, but you know, Caris LeVert, a guy that we drafted, Spencer Dinwiddie, a guy that we got off the scrap heaps, Jared Allen, a guy that we drafted. There's multiple ways to skin a fish. I think that's the saying. but I think that it's just. There's a lot of error. There's a lot of thoughts, and until like post free agency, it's going to be hard to sort of grapple with all of them, because right now it's hard to sort of just go, well, what is Kyrie Irving without D'Angelo Russell? What is Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell together? There's so many thoughts and so many things to speculate. It's almost a little overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of factors that we don't know yet. But I also think of, you mentioned like hitting, you know, getting in there while you can. And you look at the Nets situation, they have cap space this year. That cap space in the upcoming years could go away very quickly if you have to give Caris LeVert a big contract. The following season, you have to give Jared Allen a big contract. Now, all of a sudden, you're not really getting money off the books. So this year, you have the opportunity to upgrade a position. You're upgrading, you know, regardless how you want to look at it. You love D'Angelo Russell, whatever you may be as a Nets fan, and we're unsure if he can ever get to that peak. At this point, it is an upgrade. So now you're upgrading one position. You're looking to upgrade more as it goes on, but you got one thing down and you're one step closer to being a better team and being a championship team. Like you said, there's no lock. They're going to bring somebody in. But also the way I look at it too is like, what's a better backcourt, Kyrie and Caris LeVert or Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. It's just, yeah, I think it's easily obviously possible for what it's Kyrie Irving and Caris LeVert. I think that there is some tantalizing possibilities as an offensive duo. You know, you look at the Portland Trailblazers as a sort of model with CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, two guys that are tremendous offensive players, but don't necessarily have the defensive abilities required to be, you know, an elite duo on that end of the floor. Damian Lillard, I think, gets a little bit discredited on that end. I think that he's a little bit better. So, but I think that D'Angelo Russell is a really bad defender, and I think Kyrie Irving can be a really bad defender too, unless in the right system. So, and then at that point, do you play Caris LeVert at the three? Because you need to have Caris LeVert, because he was our best postseason player. You need to have Caris LeVert out there for 35 minutes a night. You know, these are the times where Coach Kenny's his coaching philosophy and his coaching tactics are gonna they're gonna be really, really important in terms of how we sort of continue to build going forward. Because I'm not sure how big of a step forward we do take. I think that, you know, it will be incremental progress, but at the same time, you know, progress isn't always linear. And I think that the Brooklyn Nets fans are a fickle base. I mean, we are as well as fans. You know, it's derived from fandom and fanatics. So you can't help but be irrational along the way. So it's going to be a bumpy ride for whether we sign D'Angelo, whether we sign Kyrie, whether we sign both, whether we get a Tobias Harris. Whatever happens, it's not going to be all smooth sailing. And I think that we need to be prepared for that. But I think it seems to me that prepared was the key word from a lot of Boston Celtics writers when it came to Kyrie Irving becoming a Brooklyn Net too.
Yeah, and I think also you look at it is too, regardless of who comes back with the Nets next year, there's going to be some growing pains because it's going to be a new fit. Even if D'Angelo is coming back and you're retaining the same team, Caris LeVert didn't play the whole season. Obviously, in the playoffs, the teams are a little bit different how they play each other. They'd have to kind of find a rhythm to work best together. So I think regardless, I would expect a little bit of growing pains, but I also expect the Nets, regardless of who they bring back, to be a better playoff team when they're in the playoffs next year, as long as everything lines up correctly, because they have a little bit more experience. And like I said, I'd feel a little bit better if it was Kyrie, because he's a proven playoff performer. I know he had a rough year, but he's hit some big shots in the past. Now, talking about possible speculation about who Kyrie could bring with him, we brought up Jimmy Butler, brought up Tobias Harris. Now, there was some recent speculation brought up by people from last year when Kawhi was first originally traded to Toronto. We talked about calling other stars and possibly teaming up with Brooklyn. Do you think there's a chance that we could see a Kyrie and Kawhi duo in the Nets uniform?
No. When there's smoke, there's fire. But like, this is like a candlelit fire, if anything. It's Toronto or the Clippers. I can't see any other scenario happening. Yes, there are surprises that can happen. I don't see, you know, all the sort of speculation surrounding, you know, Kawhi Leonard. It just seems to me that, like, you know, I don't understand why the Brooklyn Nets would somehow, you know, elevate themselves to be greater than a championship team already, or to being a team where, you know, is his hometown. I get wanting maybe to play with Kyrie Irving and that sort of allure as well, and you know, just becoming this star hopper that just wins rings at every organization, at all 30 teams, and by the end of his career, he's got like 10 rings on 10 different teams. I mean, that's pretty cool, but I can't see it necessarily happening. You know, I think that there's a greater likelihood of KD, Tobias, Jimmy that really exceeds that.
Do you think, you know, Kawhi could look as the Nets if they do add Kyrie, already have a lot of young players in this team, maybe not necessarily being better than Toronto next year, but being better than Toronto in the long term because two of their biggest pieces are above, you know, I want to say they're both over 33. Marc Gasol might even be 34 or 35.
Yeah, but I still think that they've got a greater shot at the championship next year than we do in, say, 3 years' time, because we still have to compete with the Philadelphia 76ers, the Milwaukee Bucks, and, you know, whatever.
But so Toronto. Would he be with Toronto?
Yeah, but he's already got a championship team there. Like, the Nets next season aren't going to be a greater championship contender than what the Toronto Raptors will, because they have championship experience. Pascal Siakam will get better. Fred VanVleet will be Fred VanVleet. Kyle Lowry still has a year in terms of his sort of peak-ish powers. You know, Marc Gasol is still a very good player. And they've got, you know, a guy like OG Anunoby that they can add into the fray as well. Whereas the Nets have proven to be, in terms of how much better can they get to bridge that gap in one season alone. I really have no idea. I know there's a lot of speculation, and Caris LeVert is going to get better. You know, he's a great player. I don't know if he's going to be an all-star. D'Angelo Russell's proven himself as an all-star. Kyrie Irving has proven himself as an all-NBA caliber player, but I don't really think that Kawhi Leonard is going to choose Brooklyn over a team of his hometown or a team that he's already won a championship and has really close ties. And, you know, I like the little budding bromance he has with Kyle Lowry as well, but who knows? Speaking into existence, LeVar Ball, but when you're speaking into existence, you can get traded to New Orleans as well.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit closer in terms of where the Nets will be next year if they were to add Kyrie Irving and then have Kawhi on their team. I think they're closer to what Toronto was this year. I don't expect Gasol to be as good as he was this year. Lowry, I could see him kind of carrying that on. They'll probably end up losing Danny Green. I don't think they'll have any cap space to bring anybody else in. Fred VanVleet, I don't know if that's who Fred VanVleet really is, because we saw earlier in the playoffs he was pretty bad most of the time until he had his child, and then he really took it to another level. So I think there's some intrigue if he wants to pair up with another top 10, top 15 player, whatever you consider Kyrie. And then you look at, you know, the possibility of a Caris LeVert, a Jared Allen, a Rodions, a Torian Prince, and you guys still have Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris. You have some of that depth on that team. I'm not saying they're definitely going to be better, but I could see someone making an argument saying they're going to be better than Toronto is going to be in 2 years because of how the other players are going to decline. Like, I think Gasol is definitely due for a drop. He's also a free agent after next season, and Lowry will also be the free agent. So he'd have to play with them one more year, and if he thinks they can hold him up, then that's a fair choice.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Kawhi Leonard, and obviously what your intentions are, you know, the 1-1 seems a likelihood. But if I was him, I would just sign a max deal and then just demand a trade, like a lot of players do anyway. True. So for me, you know, it seems unlikely. It would be the best scenario, Kyrie and Kawhi, better than Kyrie and KD, literally.
Would Kyrie and Kawhi make the Nets the best team in the East?
Yes,
I agree.
I think that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Sixers, that sort of, you know, you could throw a dart at the board for any of those teams. You know, Giannis, I think, will take another step forward. I think we forget how young he is and how much growth he still has. Like, we talk about ceiling. I think that He has the most untapped potential of any MVP we've ever talked about.
A jumper away from being just ridiculous.
And even just like some moves in the post away from being, you know, an even more dominant player. Kawhi Leonard, you know, there's issues about, you know, his injury history as well. Like, he was walking around like a 40-year-old old man after winning the championship. You know, is he going to have, what sort of surgery is he going to be having in the offseason? It's obviously not going to be Achilles surgery. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it would make us the best. But, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to get better. You would assume the Sixers would get better.
If they bring back the core, I think the Sixers have a potential to hit another level and just get some new chemistry. I don't think they're going to be able to retain J.J. Redick, though, if they retain Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. So then things get really funky spacing-wise. There's a scenario where I think they could trade Ben Simmons and end up being an even better team, but we could save that for a whole other show.
Yeah, I would trade like Ben Simmons for Kawhi Leonard in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think most people would. But what about the Jimmy Kyrie combo? Do you think that's a real possibility?
Yeah, I remember tweeting about that a couple of weeks ago, and it was the number one rumor like last year around this sort of time and at the start of the season as well. And then, you know, that's when sort of the whole chemistry issue sort of started with Kyrie when he headed to New York and he was asked those questions and he's like, I don't want to answer it. Like, just buzz off. I mean, I'd like it. Both of them have opted out. So both of them are now, you know, their destiny is in their own hands. But Jimmy to me just makes a lot of sense in Philly. Jimmy to me makes a lot of sense in Brooklyn as well. Like, Kyrie and Jimmy would be so awesome. And despite the fact that, you know, a lot of people will sway given, like, you know, the chemistry issues and how they would mesh with guys like Caris LeVert or whatever. But Kyrie and Jimmy would be my ideal scenario without Kawhi, because I don't think Kawhi is happening. But there is a greater likelihood for me that Jimmy could favor to play with a friend of his. But I still see that as unlikely as well. I see Kyrie as incredibly likely as being a Brooklyn Net. I don't see Jimmy. I don't see Kawhi. I can see Tobias, but it doesn't necessarily mean I like seeing it.
Yeah, I think that the Tobias thing, like you kind of hinted at earlier, he's not on a max contract. I would love to bring in Tobias, but I don't think he's necessarily a max type player. Excuse me. And you're still probably a step away from being a quote unquote contender. I think if you do add Jimmy, you're pretty close to being a contender, depending on how you fill out the rest of the roster and the jump the rest of the guys make. I'm not saying you're the best team in the East, but I think if you added Kyrie and Jimmy, you'd probably be in the top three because you're in Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, and Rob from Brooklyn, like a lot of other Nets fans, has brought up, you know, trading for Aaron Gordon. Like, where does this keep happening from? Is it just because we have Spencer Dinwiddie and it's just like Spencer Dinwiddie, Aaron Gordon? Let's figure that out.
Or maybe a D'Angelo Russell sign and trade. That's the only other possibility I could think of. I know there's been a lot of ties because people have had interest. Aaron Gordon's contract is really interesting because it's declining.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's declining, which is extremely rare you find for a young player that's ascending. I don't mind Aaron Gordon. I don't know. He's not probably your second best player, but he could definitely be your third best player because he's improved a lot. And maybe, I don't know how the player development's been in Orlando prior. Steve Clifford did a great job this year, but I think the Nets could possibly get a little bit more out of him. We do have like a lot of questions in the chat, though. What do we got, Jack?
Oh, they're all just essentially comments on, you know, what we've sort of been talking about. And on the sort of Aaron Gordon thing, I think that Aaron Gordon on the contract that he is on is a much better value asset than what Tobias Harris would be on a max contract. And I think that Aaron Gordon as like a sort of role-ish player with an incredible amount of athleticism, a Blake Griffin light with a bit of defense as well. And, you know, alongside Kyrie Irving too. And then you have sort of these pieces around it. I think it'd be really cool. But obviously, you know, Sean Marks will be making plenty of calls, and including probably to the blokes out in Orlando. But there's just so many different possibilities that can happen in this free agency. You know, the trade has already happened with Allen Crabb. You know, the draft is going to be happening very soon as well. I know you'll be discussing that with plenty of the dudes at OTG. But, you know, I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. It seems to me that Kyrie Irving in the black and white, he'd better be wearing the number two, by the way.
Oh, true. What do you think about adding, let's say, you know, they don't hit on any of these guys. They don't add Jimmy Butler. They don't add KD. They don't add Kawhi. They don't add Tobias Harris. What do you think about if Al Horford were to opt out? Would that be somebody that would interest you?
Yeah, I mean, Al Horford, Paul Millsap, these sort of guys, They make you better. They make you a better team significantly, you know. And also, I think that if Al Horford was to opt out, you know, he'd be going to a former teammate in Kyrie Irving. And what is former their relationship like?
Former
coach as well. I think that he has positive ties to Kenny Atkinson, obviously. But I'm not sure how positive the ties are and positive his experience has been with Kyrie Irving. You know, it seems to me that there's been subtle digs from both of them throughout the season. So I don't see Al Horford as a likely possibility. But there's a lot of guys, you know, on the market. It's an incredible amount of free agents and this season more than any other. So heading into 2020, you know, all these other teams or 29 other teams are going to be clamoring for their services as well. Obviously, there's certain teams who have the space and flexibility to do so. The Nets are luckily enough to one of those teams that can. But, you know, just because you have the space doesn't mean you want to use it unwisely. So I think that, you know, Sean Marks can either further his credentials as a front office GM, or he can, you know, he can stay put as sort of like, you know, a guy that's just made some nice moves. Or he can take a, you know, a step back as being one of the sort of heralded GMs if he overpays some guys or doesn't do the right moves or lets guys go in that sort of regard.
Yeah, obviously you don't want to overpay. And I think that's where you put yourself in a situation where you overpay for a player that isn't necessarily up to that level. And now all of a sudden you have money tied up and you can't get rid of it and you can't make the moves or sign the free agents that you want to sign. Even if it's just making a small move to add a role player, you can't do it because you're overpaying this guy $5 or $6 million. Now, what do you think about D'Angelo Russell coming back with Kyrie if D'Angelo took a slightly less than the max? What would be the number you would want him to come back on if he was coming back with Kyrie?
23, 24-ish.
That's what I had. I had 23 in mind. I'd say like the max amount. 27 is his max for this year, and I'd want the number to stay consistent over the course of 4 years. I wouldn't want it to increase. If he wanted to do 25, you know, $100 million for 4 years, I wouldn't think that'd be terrible, especially with the cap going up. But if you could get him for 23 this year, I think you just find a way to make it work, and now you have a really, really, really tradable contract.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you I think that it goes under the radar. You know, when you sign someone, you know, they're an asset. You know, they're your asset. Are they a good asset or a bad asset? You know, yep. In terms of, you know, are they like an Allen Crabbe sort of over much, you know, you got to get rid of that asset and you have to attach stuff to do so. But, you know, I think that number is nice. And a guy that Rob from Brooklyn has also mentioned, Nick, what about making an offer to Porzingis as a restricted free agent this summer?
I think the Nets would love to get Porzingis. I have no confidence at all that Dallas wouldn't match any offer that he's going to receive. They just traded a good amount of stuff to get him. They want to pair him with Luka. You match that. Even with the scare of the torn ACL, I think Dallas is matching everything.
Yeah, I think that that's incredibly likely too. I mean, it seems unlikely. I'd like to.
Based I love Porzingis.
I love him based off his talents, but you know, you look at the history of big guys in the NBA with knee issues, it doesn't end well, like with short guys in their late 30s. But, you know, he's still got plenty of time to reach his prime. You know, we spoke about, you know, other MVP candidates. You know, Porzingis was like in that MVP conversation for a period when he was absolutely dominating New York on not the best team either. So I would love Porzingis on the Brooklyn Nets. I don't see it happening. Just because of, like you said, Nick, that the Dallas now own his rights in a similar sense with D'Angelo Russell. But I think D'Angelo Russell is a lot more likely to be a non-Brooklyn Net next season than Porzingis is to not be a Mav.
Yeah, and then you look at Porzingis, went fully 100% healthy. He's closer to being the top of his position than D'Angelo is. If healthy, Porzingis is one of the best power forwards in the league because of his two-way ability. And he has a unique unicorn game. What do you think about the possibility of the Nets adding Kyrie and then adding, let's say, two really good starters? They're not necessarily all-stars, but they're two really good guys, and you split up the rest of that $30-plus million on those two. Do you think they could get themselves into the top four, top three with adding two really good guys, you know, maybe like a Paul Millsap and like another good small forward or shooting guard?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the moves that happen around the NBA and around the East. Milwaukee, if they just run it back, they're still, to me, probably the best, one of the best teams, if not the best team in the East. Does Kawhi stay? If he doesn't, that leaves a spot in the top four because Toronto would take a massive jump down. The Philadelphia 76ers, even if they were to lose Jimmy, which I don't see happening, they're going to keep one of Jimmy or Tobias. It seems to me fair to complete. And they're going to have a top four spot. There will be growth from Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons might learn how to shoot with his right hand, shoot with his correct hand by right hand. That's what I mean. And so I think that it's Milwaukee and Philadelphia seem to be the two sort of locks. You know, Indiana, with Victor Oladipo back, do they sort of take a jump? It seems to me that it's mildly open in that sort of sense of the imagination. The Boston Celtics, obviously, you know, you can't necessarily build around Tatum and Brown and expect to be a contender super duper quickly. But if they were to re-sign Al Horford, then they could still be a credible team, because we saw them, you know, get to the conference finals under Brad Stevens without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Does Gordon Hayward get better, or is he just now a negative asset? Mm. So it'll be interesting to sort of see. There's an opening there. There's certainly an opening there if the Nets were to sign Kyrie Irving to be a top four seed. And once you're in the big game, as they say on Game of Thrones, you know, it starts to get pretty wild.
Yeah, I think there's a real opportunity. Like you mentioned, I think 1 and 2 will probably be locked up unless the Nets end up with, you know, Kyrie or in Kawhi or Kyrie and Butler or something along those lines. But there's still a possibility for grabbing 3 and 4. And then maybe you sneak yourselves into an Eastern Conference Finals and you add some more pop for the franchise. I think you're looking to make a step every single year. You know, this year, your goal probably would be to at least to get to the second round, depending on who you add. If you add 2 stars, you're looking to at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So a lot of speculation is going to come in the next 15 days. Hopefully we have some answers by the end of June 30th.
It can't come soon enough, mate.
Yeah. Anything else, Jack, in the chat or anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here? I know we are pretty drained from a couple hours of podcasting.
Man, podcasting is oddly draining. Who would have thought just talking?
Especially on camera, I think it adds like another element.
Can make you tired. Yeah. Who would have thought?
All right. Well, appreciate, as always, everybody checking in, listening, viewing on YouTube, whatever it may be, iTunes, Box Talk Radio, GBasketball.com, Google Play Dash Radio, and NetsRepublic.com. Jack, always a pleasure spending a couple hours with you on the Hangouts today. And thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.